Today we live in a crazy, mixed up world, and so many different and strange things are happening, and it really causes a lot of problems. But what I want to focus in on today and ask the question, to divorce or not? And it seems as though that this whole world is being plagued with divorces and weirdness and strangeness, and even the churches of God. One of the larger churches of God now is saying, well, you can divorce for almost any reason, as long as it's a legitimate reason. Well, what do you mean a legitimate reason? Let's go back here to Luke 17 and let's see where Jesus was talking about this day, talking about this time where all of the strangeness and all of the stupidity that human beings are doing is going on. Luke 17 and verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. The days just before he returns, he describes them. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And then also he talks about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah and all the things that were going on there. We also know that Jesus called his generation an evil, a wicked, and an adulterous generation. And so when you pick up the paper, you find some very strange things going on. And here from the paper, it's entitled, the article is, When Couples Call It Quits. And it talks about the different divorce situations that people go through. Here was a situation where there was a marriage that was ready to be divorced, and it was the divorce lawyer took on this client because her husband now fancied himself as Elvis Presley and dressed up like Elvis Presley, looked like Elvis Presley, tried to walk and talk and sing like Elvis Presley. Well, what are you going to do with this stupid show of vanity and nonsense? Then there was one where a black man came and he said, well, I need to have custody of my son. But the problem was he was married to a white woman before, and since they divorced, now she married a white man, and he's saying, well, I've got to teach my son multiculturalism, so how can he learn it by being half black and living in a white family? You've got that strangeness. So then you have another one here where in Los Angeles, this woman went to consult an attorney about divorce, and she wanted to know, should she divorce her husband before or after the sex change operation? Now you talk about weird and strange. That sure is there. Then there was another one where it relates about where there was a so-called amicable divorce, and everything was just peaceful and fine and divorcing and separating until they came down to this little treasure trove of a teacup. And then everything all started coming unglued at that point. And then it goes on with some of the things concerning the different problems that they have in marriage and divorce. And it brings up this. It says, more people are willing to dissolve their marriage as they would a business partnership, because there's no love, there's no commitment, there's no knowledge of God in the land. And some of them try and have the situation where they downplay the emotional side. And it seems that no matter how clean that from a divorce lawyer's point of view, it looks like on paper, there are still emotions involved. And it points out one of the things that really is a key into why there are so many divorces. It's the woman's changing role. And where then it says concerning that, the common order in the past was that the mother had custody and the father had visitation rights, said Judge Stewart. Now there's a tendency to work out a co-parenting plan. That seems to be a workable solution, say, lawyers, until one hooks up with a new lover, a new mate, and then it all comes apart. And now they have it that we're, as we covered before, that in marital relations, where then women are ruling over men, and it really gets to be quite a desperate and a difficult situation. Divorces are also being instigated with more frequency by women, because Satan likes to play upon the women. it's unfair, your husband is cruel, and women's rights, and all of this sort of thing going on. Unlike women of past generations, they are less likely to tolerate unacceptable behavior in their husbands. Of course, then what is acceptable, what is not acceptable? That becomes another question. And so all the standards are being moved around and changed, and it's kind of like button, where's the button under the little walnut shells? You know, guess where the button is, and that's what the rules of marriage are. As women become more educated, earn higher wages and become more prominent in the business world, they sometimes outgrow the men that they married in their youth. Well, that's another whole problem. Marriage was not meant to be static 17 or 18 year old all through your life. So that becomes another problem. And modern women are more apt to leave men who can't get past a drug or alcohol problem or who couldn't remain faithful. Well, there are some reasons for divorce. So what is the reason for divorce, and can people in the church divorce and remarry? Now, that all depends. So let's see what the Bible says about it, and let's find out what it is to divorce or not. Let's go to Matthew 19. There are some people who say that there should never, ever be any divorce at all, that Christ will not sanction any divorce once a person's in the church. Well, let's see if that may be true or not true. All right. Now let's pick it up here in Matthew 19. Matthew 19 and verse 3. And the Pharisees also came to him, tempting him, saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause? Because he's unhappy with her, cooks a meal wrong, doesn't wash his laundry, because she challenges his authority, because she fights and picks at him all the time. Can a man put away his wife for any cause?" We can ask the question today, can a woman put away her husband for any cause? Well, Jesus went on and he said right here, let's pick it up. And he answered, verse 4, and he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he which made them from the beginning made them male and female? And for this cause, because of the very fact of the creation of God, shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be or become one flesh. Wherefore," verse 6, "they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." And that becomes a very important key. What has God bound? And if God has bound it, man is not to put it asunder or give divorce. What God has bound. Now we'll answer that in a little more detail as we go along. And they said unto him, "Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away?" Now originally, even in the commands of Moses, it was for uncleanness, and that uncleanness was not just any little mark or blemish or anything, it was uncleanness because of a sexual disease more than anything else. So he answered and said to them, verse 5, "Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you," or that is, allowed you to put away your wives, "but from the beginning it was not so." And we will see that a lot of the problems that are happening within the church today is because the hardness of the heart of individuals involved. Not because they may or may not have grounds for divorce. Most of them don't. There's even one church of God that says, if your mate leaves this church of God and joins another church of God, which believes in Christ, believes all the same things as this church of God, because they're not in this corporate structure, therefore you can divorce the one who's in the other church of God and you can remarry someone in this church. And I tell you, that is causing people to live in adultery. That is not correct. That is absolutely wrong and completely intolerable and not according to the Word of God. You need to define what is a believer and a non-believer, which we'll do a little bit later on. It's not based if you're in this corporate structure or in this corporate structure. It is what is the Word of God. So from the beginning, God did not want there to be any divorce. Now we come here to verse 9. And I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife, that is divorce her, except it be for fornication. Now fornication comes from the Greek porneia. And porneia means any sexual immorality whatsoever, even including adultery. Now, why was porneia the word that was chosen here or used by Christ or was preserved and written for us in Greek? Because you couldn't say that you put them away just for adultery alone, because even in that time, there was homosexuality, there was bestiality, there was adultery, and all of these things are wrapped up in the term porneia. Now, just to prove this to you, let's go here to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. There are some people who say that porneia only means sex before marriage. That is not correct. Absolutely not correct. It can include it, but it's not restrictive to that. Unfortunately, the English word fornication generally means sex before marriage. But the Greek word porneia does not mean the same as the English word fornication. Now here we have a situation of incest in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication. Sexual immorality would be the proper way to translate porneia. Among you, and such fornication as such is not named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. All right? It's called porneia, and it includes the act of both the male and the female, correct? Yes. The man was committing incest with his stepmother, called porneia. She was committing incest with him, called porneia. Her act was not called adultery, because it's sexual immorality. So to restrict it to just the English meaning of fornication is not correct. It's completely incorrect. Now, let's go back to Matthew 5 and we'll see what else Jesus said about this. Let's ask the question. Since God is the one who binds a marriage, who is the only one that can loose it? God. And then what is used to loose a marriage? The very grounds that Jesus said would loose a marriage. Let's read it again right here in Matthew, the 5th chapter. And verse 31. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say to you, that whosoever shall put away, or that is, divorce his wife, except for the cause. Here is the reason for divorce allowable by God. Except for the cause of fornication, which is porneia, which includes any immoral sexual act. Causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Now that's why Jesus said it was an evil, a wicked, and an adulterous generation because of what they were doing. So the only way a marriage can be loosed within the church. Now, we're not talking in the world, because the world can, with the hardness of their heart and all of their morals and things that are so bad, that they will divorce for any reason. We're going to focus in, what about it within the church? How does God look at it? What is it that is something that God looses? There's got to be the grounds of what Christ said, and it has to embody porneia. Not just for any reason at all, but for porneia or sexual immorality. That does not include arguments. That does not include problems with finances. That does not include where you want to live. It does not include what kind of work that you have. None of those are involved in porneia. Let's understand something also about marriage. Marriage is a legal and a binding contract, which is not loosed or bound necessarily because of love or the lack thereof. Many people say, well, you know, you got to have love to make a marriage binding. No, you have to have love to make a marriage work. A marriage is binding by God, whether there is love or not, as long as it is entered into legally, and there is accepting of one another, and there is cohabitation with one another, and there is living together as husband and wife. Nothing in the Bible that says, if you don't get along with your wife, put her away. Nothing in the Bible that says, if you don't get along with your husband, put him away. After all, what guarantee do you have that you're ever going to get along with anybody in a marriage estate? Maybe the difficulties that you have are a result of problems in selecting the mate in the first place, but that doesn't give grounds for divorce. Okay? Let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, let's go to Romans 7, and we'll go to 1 Corinthians 7. Let's look and see how God even obeyed his own law in relationship to the covenant that he had with Israel. And boy, I tell you, if there was any cause to put away Israel, God had plenty of cause to put away Israel, didn't he? Okay, now let's notice what are some of the rules of Bible study. What does it say, what does it not say, etc. Okay? Romans 7 and verse 1. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Now, this doesn't say that you run your life by emotions and you can make legal decisions based on emotions. You cannot. Decisions of law are based on law, not emotions. And I think there would be a whole lot more people much more willing to work things out and get along if they understood that they were bound by God. And they don't have an excuse, they don't have a reason to divorce. And before God, they need to work out their problems. And divorce is not the solution. Okay? You're bound by the law of God. What is the law of God? The law of God is spiritual. The law of God is holy. The law of God is just, isn't it? Yes, that's what he says a little later, just down here in verse 14 through 16, correct? Yes. All right, verse 2. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. And if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Now, works both ways. You can substitute the words back and forth. Okay? So then, if while her husband lives, she is married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. That's exactly what Jesus said. Except for the cause of sexual immorality, there is no divorce that is granted. In other words, we need to ask the question not to divorce or not divorce, but what are the grounds that God looses a marriage? And we will see that even by choice then, even by choice and by example of God, that even that can be overridden. Okay, but if her husband be dead, she shall be free from the law, which bound her husband, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. So in order to loose the whole old covenant, even though God put away Israel, even though God put away Judah, as he says, gave her a bill of divorcement, did God enter into a covenant with anyone else until he legally ended that covenant marriage relationship? The answer, no, he did not. Now, God, because he's loving and kind and merciful, did not destroy all of Israel, which he could have. And that would have loosed the covenant. But he didn't do it that way. He came himself and he died to legally dissolve and end that covenant relationship with Israel and Judah. That's very key and profound, and you need to understand that in relationship to what God has said viewing marriage and divorce, that he himself even lives by his own law. He did not go out and commit adultery after having divorced Israel and Judah by entering into a covenant relationship with another nation or another people. He himself sacrificed himself to die so that that relationship could be ended legally and properly, so God would keep his own laws. Now, did he have every reason to put her away? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Okay? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 7. Because this tells us an awful lot concerning marriage and divorce, and what there is in the church. Okay, 1 Corinthians 7. And we'll go through it in quite detail, most of the chapter, because this is the divorce and remarriage and problem chapter, as it were. Now let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 7. He says, I would that all men were even as I myself. And you can understand why the Apostle Paul did not have a wife. Now, there may have been a time when he had a wife before God called him, because he was a rabbi in Judaism, but that is really neither here nor there. He did not carry around a wife, because you examine his whole life and how terrible it was going here and there and preaching the gospel. But he said he would that everyone was like himself so that they could devote themselves to God. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after one manner and one after another after that manner. Okay, so not everyone is able to be, how should we say, eunuchs for the kingdom of God as Jesus described it. Now, verse 8, I say therefore to the married and the widows, it is good for them that they abide even as I. Now, we find out a little later that he commanded the widows to marry and the young women to marry, because when he was giving here 1 Corinthians writing, 1 Corinthians 7, he said, let's just go to verse 29. We understand that they were expecting the Lord to return at any time. Okay, he says, verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives and be as though as if they had none. In other words, he thought the time was so urgent then, the return of Christ was so near. Don't get bogged down into the problems and difficulties and things of marriage. Look up to Christ, for he's going to return now. Okay? Didn't happen that way. All right, now let's come back here to verse 9. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. See, even here he had to give an escape hatch for it, right? Yes, he did. For it is better to marry than burn. That is to sin, live in adultery, commit fornication, so forth. But to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Okay? Now, here are people who married who are in the church. People who believe that Jesus Christ is Savior. People believe that the only way of salvation is through the name of Jesus Christ. All right? Notice what he says, and this is the command of the Lord. He says, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband, which is the same problem we're having today. I just read from the newspaper. Same problem they were having in Corinth, because they had the great Babylonian liberated society back then, too. Notice what he says in verse 11. If it does happen, if there is separation, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried. So if it gets down to irreconcilable differences, and there is not sexual immorality involved causing the problem, and there is a separation, you are not to remarry. It's exactly what it says, and says that Paul said, I'm not saying this, but the Lord is saying this. Now notice, you're not to be remarried or, he says, or be reconciled. And let not the husband put away his wife. Very key, important thing. Too many times people come to loggerheads, and it's hard-headedness that causes the difficulties with marriage rather than sexual immorality. Now, there are times, even within the church, that sexual immorality takes place. Now, it's possible then to put away a mate because of that, but it's also possible upon repentance to accept them and bring them back. That's also possible. Just because sexual immorality does occur does not mean that divorce is necessarily automatic. It is the choice of the offended mate. That is the choice. God said, under these circumstances, I will allow divorce. Now we're going to see that even God gave us an example back in the book of Hosea on how he handled that, all right? So that's pretty clear cut. Verse 11, but if she depart, let her remain married or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest, that is, who are not in this category, speak I, not the Lord. If a brother has a wife that believes not and is pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Okay, today we have a little bit different problem in what is believing in Christ, what is not believing in Christ. Back then it was very clear. You had Christ in the way of the Bible, or you had paganism with no in between. Today, there are a lot of Protestants who believe in Christ. Now, we're not going to judge God and say that they cannot come into the kingdom of God if God so decides that they will. Okay? I'm not convinced that all Protestants are going to be able to come into the kingdom of God. However, I'm not so convinced that all Protestants are going to be excluded either. So what if you have a situation where you have, say, a Baptist wife who believes in Christ as Savior, but maybe doesn't keep the Sabbath and holy days? Are you going to count her as a non-believer? Are you going to judge God and say she is a non-believer just because in keeping the Sabbath and holy days you feel you are a greater believer? I wouldn't want to make that judgment. And I would never advise anyone under those circumstances that you could divorce and remarry. Now, if your problems are so difficult that you have to separate for a while, that's one thing. Now, if one of them has been in the church for a long time, maybe you've been married for years and years, maybe 25, 30, 35 years, maybe 40 years, and you've never really gotten along, Does that loose your marriage? No, it doesn't. Doesn't loose it. You need to think about that, because you've taken upon yourself an awful lot if you put yourself into that category. Okay? Now let's read on here. And the wife be pleased to dwell with him. Let him not put her away to marry someone in the church. That's the next thought that comes along, you see. All right? And if the woman have a husband that believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So this shows that there are binding marriages that God has bound which are not necessarily under the sanctity of the church, if I could put it that way. Now, were all these people pagan before? Sure they were. I've heard people say, well, God doesn't enter into a pagan marriage. It's not whether it's pagan or not. It's marriage. Who created male and female? God did. Who binds them or looses them? God does. Is God interested in all human beings? Yes, he is. So many of these excuses that people have had in the past, that's what they are. They're excuses. Human rationale, human justification to get your own way. And if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, else your children are unclean. But now they are holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. Now, if they just up and leave, once there is conversion, at the time of conversion, then he says, a brother or sister is not under bondage, or that is not bound in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Then he says, there's still a room of doubt here. You don't know. He says, for what do you know, O wife, whether you shall save your husband? Or what do you know, O man, that you shall save your wife? In other words, by your loving attitude, by your kindness and everything, by your patience and forbearance, lead them to a situation that they would become converted and be saved. But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all the churches. If a man is called circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. If any is called uncircumcised, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. There are certain circumstances you can't change. All right? If you're called being a servant, don't worry about it or be anxious for it. But if you may be made free, go ahead and use that. That's fine. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant or a slave, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. And you are bought with a price. Be you not the servants of men. Okay? Now, don't be used, don't be manipulated by men, by their ideas, and so forth. You're bought with a price with Christ. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. And he goes on talking about the category of the unmarried virgins, and of course that would apply to the unmarried chaste men. I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord and be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. That is just for the present time and difficulties we are in. I say that it is good for a man to be so. Are you bound to a wife? Here's the key. Seek not to be loose. Are you loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. And yet people are doing both of these things at the same time. They find themselves that they can't get along with their husbands or wives, and they're not willing to really try and do the things to be reconciled as Paul said. So they're seeking to loose and seeking to remarry. I tell you, it's getting crazy even within the church. But if you marry, let's see, it says here, are you loose and a wife? Okay. Are you loose? Seek not a wife. But if you are free to marry, that is. But and if you married, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she is not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. And of course, some of the circumstances that were there because of the historic setting they were living in, that were pretty trying times. Okay? Now let's cover that verse we covered earlier. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that they both which have wives be as though as if they had not. And they that weep as though they weep not. And those that rejoice as though they rejoice not. And they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world is passing away. But I would have you without anxiety and carefulness or worry. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord and how he may please the Lord. And he's only saying this for that short period of time that they were in. He that is married cares for the things that are of this world, how he may please his wife. And you have to. That's not saying it's wrong. You must. Because if you're married, you're to provide for your family, provide for your wife. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, and that she may be holy both in body and spirit. And she that is married for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Nothing wrong in either one of those. This does not sanction virginity forever to have nuns and have priests on the other hand. This would just for that short duration of time. But it is true, many times, and isn't it so? Many times when you want to get closer to God, what happens? Well, you really can't do it the way you ought to because of the family and the children and everything. Paul says a little earlier that if you want to get close to God and fast for a season, go ahead and do that. That's fine. But come together again as husband and wife. Now, verse 35. For this I speak for your profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comelier, that is proper or right, and that you may attend unto the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaves himself uncomely toward his virgin, in other words, if they're engaged and the passions are running hot and he can't contain himself, or she's getting old, if she passed the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will do, he sins not. In other words, let them marry. Saying it's better to marry, as he says a little later, it's better to marry than burn. Okay? So sin is still sin all the way through. And people have taken this to give every kind of excuse under the sun to marry, to not marry, to divorce, to not divorce, and really not see what the Apostle Paul is saying. Okay, let's finish this chapter because it's really quite a profound chapter in relationship to marriage and divorce and so forth. Nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and so has decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he that gives her in marriage does well, but he that gives not in marriage does better for the present distress. It wouldn't be too convenient to marry right in the middle of war. Wouldn't be too convenient to marry right in the middle of famine. All right? But if you marry, you haven't sinned. He's not abolishing marriage. What he's doing is saying, keep everything in perspective, because when you marry, you do have responsibilities. When you're not married, you still have responsibilities. Now notice verse 39. The wife is bound by the law so long as her husband lives. It's not based on love. Be nice if everything were based on it. It should be based on love. But that is not the basis for dissolving a marriage. It is law and the law of God which is what binds and looses a marriage. By the decree and determination of God, not by any whim of men. But if her husband be dead, she's at liberty to marry whom she will only in the Lord. And I've seen where that doesn't happen, and it creates problems and difficulties too. So, what if you have an unbelieving mate that leaves?